Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week, I'll be interviewing an author who wrote a history book about Coca-Cola and is looking for work campers to encourage bookstores to buy the book as well as to sell them at local events. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. Larry Jorgensen has been a big fan of Coca-Cola for many years, but he was amazed at the network of companies that helped to make it one of the world's most widely recognized brands. In 2017, Larry wrote the Coca-Cola Trail, People and Places in the History of Coca-Cola, to capture and retain stories about how the company grew from one man's secret recipe into a multinational corporation. It's a book that focuses not so much on the corporation itself, but on interesting and historic places to visit that pertain to Coca-Cola, as well as the people who played a role in the growing company. For example, it describes a place in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where Coca-Cola was first put in a bottle. The building still exists, and people can see the old equipment used to bottle the beverage. It's now a museum of sorts, but it's just one example of what people will read about as they venture along the Coca-Cola Trail. These are out-of-the-way places RVers may like to visit on their journeys as well, but people who simply like history would enjoy reading the book too. Larry is looking for work campers who would like to sell the book independently to other RVers or by encouraging stores to carry copies. The outlets may include stores at campgrounds, bookstores, souvenir shops, museums, travel centers, etc. The work campers can also sell books at local fairs, flea markets, and community events. The work campers can buy the book at deeply discounted wholesale prices, then resell them while keeping the difference. Larry said they could make up to $10 per book. The best part is that work campers don't have to inventory a lot of books. They might want to keep a box handy for when they are traveling around and talking to someone who might want to read the book, or they visit a business where it would be a good tie-in to products they're already selling. But if they make a sale for a large order, work campers simply call Larry and he can have a case shipped directly to the business. When the businesses send in their payment, the work campers receive a commission on the sale. So there are two ways to make money: buying books at wholesale and selling them at retail prices, or earning a 20% commission for simply taking an order and allowing Larry to ship it to whomever ordered the copies. To tell us more about this money-making opportunity, please welcome Larry Jorgensen, the author of The Coca-Cola Trail, to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Larry. I really appreciate your time. So tell me a little bit about you and what you do for a living.
Well, what we have to offer is I'm an author, and I have written a couple books that I have found really have greatly appeal to people that RV and that like to travel, and also people that are interested in historic but recent historic places to visit. So the main reason we're talking is, you know, because I'm an author, but my background is totally media, radio, TV. I guess, you know, in the common vernacular, I'm what they call an old news dog. Brought up in the media, and I'm still writing because I don't know how to quit.
Okay, very good. And you've been doing this for how long?
Well, I started out actually when I was in high school. I was lucky enough to get a after school and full-time summer job with the local weekly newspaper. And it was a profession that, when I say profession, I didn't realize at that time, but I was always fascinated by journalism and newspapers and that sort of thing, and was lucky enough to get into it at an early age and evolved from weekly to daily newspaper to radio, television, freelancing, wire service. I guess I've had a chance to do all of it, and I've enjoyed it all. I like working with the media, and I still do to some extent right now because of some clients that I work with.
I'll bet you're just like me, because when I first started in journalism, you had to use the old-fashioned, you know, hot wax and cut.
Hot
and
lead.
Yes. You are well, in hot lead, so you're even before I was. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. In fact, my Saturday project at the weekly newspaper when I was in high school, on Saturday, I got to go down and make the hot lead pigs, as they called them, that were used then during the week by the linotypes, which cranked out all the newspaper in lead.
Mm-hmm. Computers sure changed all that, didn't they?
They sure have. And occasionally, because of glitches and not being able to find things, we might get a little unhappy with them. But as a writer, the resources available to me in researching and in contacting people like you and like our viewers and so forth, because of the computer, are amazing. I can remember pre-computer days, many trips to the local library, which you don't need for research anymore.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. Now, I understand that you have written a book that will be of interest to our viewers who are looking to read it for places to travel, but also there's a sales opportunity here.
That's correct. The book is called The Coca-Cola Trail, and it is about places and people in the history of Coca-Cola. It's not about Atlanta, Georgia. Everybody, you say Coca-Cola, they think Atlanta. But this is about places all across the country where, as an RVer, you could go visit and you might see what used to be a Coca-Cola building, a bottling plant that maybe now is a entertainment center or is possibly a brew pub or a little mini mall or whatever. And we tell you where these great things are, and then we also tell you the history of what you're looking at. A good example, Vicksburg, Mississippi, in 1896 was the first place that Coca-Cola was ever put in a bottle. And what you can visit in Vicksburg, Mississippi, is the place where it happened. It's been restored. It's an old soda fountain candy store that has been restored and is now a museum of sorts. But you can go in and see the equipment that was used, very crudely used, to first bottle Coca-Cola. And that's just an example of what you'll see on the Coca-Cola Trail. It's places where Coca-Cola history started, and you can still see it, you can touch it, and you can learn what it was that happened there while you're enjoying it. So it's history and it's travel.
Well, that's very interesting. And so this book kind of guides people on places to visit, something that they can do in their RVs or in their cars or whatever the case might be. Are there a lot of fans of Coca-Cola out in the country today?
Not only in this country, but what amazed me after I wrote the book is the calls, when I say calls, the emails that I was getting from other countries. And I've talked to people. I've done interviews in England, and I've even done an interview in Dubai. I mean, Coca-Cola is without a doubt the world's best known product. And it all happened because of the Coca-Cola Trail. because of the people and places that started it all right here in the United States. So, and what we do with the book, there's a lot of old Coca-Cola buildings that maybe now have become office buildings, a group of lawyers or other such things. That's not included in the book because we want to include places where you can go in and you can see Coca-Cola memorabilia. There's some beautiful buildings that were plants that now, a good example, Paducah, Kentucky, one of the most beautiful old Coca-Cola bottling plants ever, has now become a combination of a pizza place, a brew pub, a couple stores, and the plant itself is just gorgeous. It's when it was built, they said it was one of the most beautiful Coca-Cola plants in the world, and it is. It's outstanding. But that's just one. I mean, you've got the same thing in Indianapolis, Indiana, where a Coca-Cola plant that, again, was architecturally amazing, has now become a hotel, beautiful hotel. And around it are stores that you can visit, the places that, for example, might have been the storage for Coca-Cola trucks has now become a series of little stores. And these are all places that are open to the public and still have Coca-Cola memorabilia. And, you know, the memorabilia is a big thing. I found a lot of people that travel do look for memorabilia to bring back to say, hey, I was here. I was at this place and look what I brought back, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's an old Coca-Cola bottle or a sign or whatever. A lot of that is available at the places that we talk about in the book.
That's neat. And so you are looking for some people to help sell the book. Tell us what you have envisioned for that.
Well, what we do propose to do, and we do have one person that's doing this already. We've just started with this idea. The opportunity for an RVer is in two different areas of representing the book. It can be simply, selling it to fellow RVers, if you like, at a pretty healthy markup, or if you want to sell it to the local RV camp store, or to a place that you visit along the way, like I'll tell you, country stores, the little country stores where you like to stop and maybe pick up something unique. If they've got a Coca-Cola sign, a memorabilia type sign, chances are they're interested in selling the book. So a person that represents the book can either sell it individually to a fellow RVer or can sell it to stores. And in that case, it's an opportunity to sell a case of them, as it were, or six of them or whatever. And the neat thing is you don't have to inventory them. You don't have to carry, 100 books with you. You get the order. The store wants a dozen books. You send me an email. You say, here's Joe's Country Store. They want 100 books or 10 books or whatever they want. And we ship the books from here. When the store, and we bill it from here. And then when the store pays, you as a seller receive the commission on the sale. So it's really painless in representing us. We provide, to get you started, we'll provide a good supply of books that you can immediately sell to individuals, or you can use to show to store sales, retail sales. If you're staying at an RV park, chances are they've got a good store, and show it to the store managers. Say, this is what RVers like. They like to learn about traveling, and you can have it in your store, and the RV store makes money, and the person who represents the book to the store is paid a commission. So it works out well, and there's no need to carry a big inventory or to worry about the paperwork that goes with the retail end of it.
It sounds like a good opportunity for somebody who might like to go to various festivals and fairs and set up a booth and something like that.
Absolutely. In fact, the one person that just contacted me as we recently started this had asked me that question. They said, well, can I go to, you know, I go to a lot of flea markets, festivals, and so forth. What about if I got a booth there? Well, absolutely. You get a booth there, and then you're selling as a retailer, so you're getting the full markup of the book. The book sells for $22. The store or a retailer, which the RV person would be, if they had a flea market booth or something, would buy the book for $12. So there's a $10 markup immediately on books sold at retail. If, in fact, an RVer sells to the local store and the store orders 10 books, then we send the books from here. The RVer who made the sale gets a 20% commission by simply turning in the paperwork on the sale, and we take it from there.
Okay. So they can buy them at wholesale and sell them at retail if they want to, or they can simply serve as salespeople for you by turning in paperwork to you, and you fulfill the orders, but they get a 20% commission.
That's correct. And I guess what one of the reasons I thought about this, because at one time I was an RVer, and I had a gentleman who is in Tennessee. He's retired. But he gets around and talks to some stores and so forth. And he said, can I represent your book? I like your book. And I said, well, yeah, that's fine. And he's the one that really got the idea started that someone could represent my book and could make some money doing it. So I guess he was the first to do it. He's not in the RV. He's not an RVer. He's just a retired individual trying to make a few dollars, and he's been selling the book to stores. I think he's been doing it for me for about 4 or 5 years, and you know, it's a nice relationship for both of us. You know, we'll provide a fair amount of literature. We're not a big operation, but you know, we've got some pretty good point of sale literature, and we can provide that to help in the sales. And a lot of times, if we know where the RVer is located or where they are going, you know, if you keep me posted as to where you're going, chances are I've got some good leads along the way. People that I've either talked to or I've read about, like I say, country stores are a fabulous opportunity. And another place that's you'll see, like if, for example, if you travel Highway 66, and a lot of us do, there are so many places along Highway 66 that are themed at 50s. You know, the 50s soda fountains. There's a big one. I think the town is called Arcadia, that has a big soda bottle outside it. It's called the Soda Pop Ranch. And they've been a tremendous customer. They've sold a lot of books for us. And I know there's others that we've contacted along Highway 66 that somebody would show up and say, here's the book. How many do you want? It should be a pretty easy sell. The name Coca-Cola, I found, is magic. And I didn't set out to do this book because I thought that's what would happen. I did the book because I was sincerely interested in the subject of Coca-Cola history and how it all started. And I thought, that's an interesting story. Well, once I did the book, I found that the magic of the name Coca-Cola just draws people to the book. I guess it was a lucky find on my part, and it certainly made selling the book a lot easier, because people have good memories, especially, you know, right now at Christmas time. There's so many Coca-Cola memories connected to Christmas that it seems like this time of year we even get a boost in sales. Coca-Cola, let's face it, I always say Coca-Cola kidnapped Santa Claus. And they really did. You know, the Santa Claus that we recognize as Santa was in fact an image created by the artist at Coca-Cola in the 1920s.
Really?
And that image today, for example, you may remember about 2 years ago, the post office issued a series of four Christmas stamps, and each of them had a Santa Claus feature on it. Well, each of those Santa Clauses were, in fact, Santa Clauses that had been designed by the Coca-Cola artist. And, Coca-Cola decided way back then that Christmas is a great memory time, and they wanted to be a leader in it and to provide more memories. Coca-Cola, for example, now you'll see, I'm sure in a community near you, the big Coca-Cola trucks will roll in, gaily decorated and lights and samples for everybody. And that's become a tradition. Another Coca-Cola tradition is the old Charlie Brown Christmas. Everybody likes that story. And the fact of the matter is that when the idea of Charlie Brown's Christmas was presented, nobody thought it was a good idea. Nobody wanted her to sponsor it. And then along came Coca-Cola and said, it's a great idea. And they were made it possible for Charlie Brown's Christmas to happen. What about the polar bears? You know, we see a polar bear, we expect him to be holding a bottle of Coca-Cola. It's all good, warm memories.
Sure.
As a child, how many people stood as a child in front of that big window at the bottling plant and watched the bottles get filled? And how many times when they were watching, did that bottler come out and give them a sample? Memories, Coca-Cola memories. And that's what the book is about.
That's neat.
Where can I go and see the memories?
Now, is there one or two books involved?
Well,
in
actually, there's two. I recommend to get started is start with book number one. What happened is after I wrote book number one, and it became a great success. We've already sold over 9,000 copies, and it's just me. I don't have a big publishing house behind me. But I wrote the first book, and people started contacting me. Email, or they'd see me at a festival or something, and they'd say, you forgot about. And they would give me the name of a town where there was a great Coca-Cola building or maybe a Coca-Cola mural or something going on. And they'd say, you didn't have that in the book. So I started what I called my little box of forgot abouts. And I would throw a note in the box, and pretty soon I had enough notes in that box that I decided I needed to do the second book. So we have done a second book called Return to the Coca-Cola Trail. And that is available as well. But I always recommend do the first book first, because that really tells how it got started, that bottling in 1896 in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and where it went from there. And if you get that background, then the rest of the places where Coca-Cola happened, and they happened quick. In the early 1900s, people got on board and started bottling Coca-Cola and building buildings and And things happen, you know, that you can go back and see today. And that's what the book's all about.
Are you expecting that the work campers who would be representing the book become experts in Coca-Cola and the Coca-Cola Trail?
Well, I would think that the people representing the book would certainly gather enough information as they traveled and showed it to people. They would probably, like I found in talking to people, everybody's got a Coca-Cola story. So they will find in presenting the book, someone will come to them and say, I remember Coca-Cola as a child, or I remember when Grandpa used to bring me Coca-Cola at Christmas, or whatever. It's such a great conversation piece that it's bound to lead to stories and memories. It's not like, you know, you're selling something that people really like, mm-hmm. and that makes it fun. You learn why they like it and why they're interested in the product that you have.
If people were interested in working for you and representing the book, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the simplest way, so you don't have to remember numbers, but I could give you numbers too, is just go to thecoca-colatrail.com. That's our website. And all the contact information is there, but there's the old standard, you know, email me, which is simply, and it's also listed on the website. The email address is GL, like George Little, glmanagement40@gmail.com. And I love to talk to people. And my phone number is 337-591-1937. So, you know, call me. Let's talk. Tell me how it would fit into what you're doing. Tell me where you're going. What's your next venture? I'll bet you I can point you at some people down the road that would be interested in talking to you. You know, I think you and I talked, Greg, and I mentioned I was an RVer for several years, and I loved it. I loved the opportunity to meet people and find places, and I can really relate to what's going on out there now. So let's talk. You know, let's see how we can make it work for you.
Do the work campers need any special skills, training, or qualification?
Not really. Be a good person. Love to talk. The paperwork is easy. It's simply, you know, get the name and address of a store that wants some books and how many do they want, and we'll take it from there. Or tell me, you know, we'll send you your first batch of books on consignment. You know, if you think you want 12 books and you've got 12 places, you got some friends and some relatives, and maybe it'll make good Christmas presents. Well, we'll send you 12. And after you get those sold, you know, send me my part, you keep your part, and we'll send you some more. So it's, you know, it's just basic selling. It kind of reminds me of the old days when I was in grade school. What was that newspaper? The Grit, I think they
Grit,
called it.
Grit, yes.
We went out and we sold Grit. You know, well, I guess this Coca-Cola Trail is kind of a modern version of Grit. It's a lot of fun, though. It's the fun part is the people you talk to. If you walk into a store and there's a, you know, a Coca-Cola sign hanging there that's maybe an old sign that's been there, you know that you've got somebody to talk to. The first thing you say is, where'd you get that sign? Or maybe they've got a bunch of old Coca-Cola bottles. And when you read the book, you'll learn the history of the Coca-Cola bottle. So you can talk to them. You can say, do you know why that bottle was green when it started? Or do you know where the bottle was first invented? You know, so you read the book a little bit, you get some good talking points. So when you walk into a store and you see some old Coca-Cola item there, you know about it. You can talk about it, and the person that's at that store will love the story, and consequently, you make a friend.
Sure. How often are people paid once they sell the books?
Well, there's two ways. We'll send you the book, and you sell it to a neighbor, you're paid immediately, you know, individual sales.
Okay.
If you sell to a store and you turn in an order, then we fulfill the order. We send the six books to the RV park store or wherever, and we then send them a bill. Once they pay the bill and it's marked as your account, we keep some of the two people that are doing it now for me. It's worked well. We keep a separate account list for them. And when that store pays the bill that we send them, then we immediately write a check to you.
Okay.
There's no delay. Once the books are paid for, you're paid. It's that simple.
Well, this sounds like a great opportunity for somebody. I have one question I've got to ask you, though, as somebody who is a Coca-Cola aficionado, and that is, which is better, cans, bottles, or the soft drink directly from a fountain?
Well, I guess I used to say a bottle. But, you know, and I'm not a Coca-Cola addict, but I like my share of Coca-Cola. Recently, I have discovered the new Coca-Cola coffee drink. And maybe you've seen it. It's a coffee-flavored, lightly coffee-flavored Coca-Cola. They have it in three different flavors. I like the dark. And it comes in one of those, you know, new style narrow cans. And you know what? I like it. But the memories that go back to Coca-Cola, the old days, if I can find a 6.5-ounce Coca-Cola bottle, and they still bottle them that way, there's just something about drinking that Coca-Cola out of one of those original style bottles that, besides getting the original flavor, you get with it the original memories. When's the last, you know, how about putting peanuts in your Coke? Well, you put it peanuts in a bottle of Coca-Cola. You didn't put it in a can, you know. I mean, those are the memories when you drink a Coca-Cola out of a bottle. You get the flavor and you get the memories. So, yeah, my number one choice is bottles. Cans are convenient, you know, for certain events, but give me a good cold bottle of Coca-Cola any day.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing your story with me today, Larry. I really appreciate it. This has been fascinating, and I know there are other people out there who love Coca-Cola as well, and this might be just the opportunity they're looking for to bring in a little extra money and have some fun in the process.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to explain it, and I think that anyone who wants to give it a try, we're more than willing to work with you to make it work for what you're doing. You know, we're very flexible, and we'll match up with your needs.
I'd like to thank Larry Jorgensen, the author of Coca-Cola Trail, for coming on the show to describe this unique opportunity for work campers to make money by either selling his book directly or by collecting a commission when they take large orders on behalf of businesses. Larry developed some point-of-sale literature that work campers can use to entice people to buy the book. Like he said, people who travel a lot, such as full-time RVers, will encounter people who like to read the book or businesses that would like to include the book in their inventory. As an example, Larry described the many businesses along Route 66 that cater to history buffs and people who want to relive the golden years of travel. These communities made a name by serving travelers during a time when Coca-Cola was developing into a brand people like to drink at soda fountains, restaurants, gas stations, theaters, and travel centers. Many people have fond memories that include Coca-Cola, and they would be ideal prospects for buying the book. Because the book describes interesting Coke-related things to see all around America, people who like traveling will likely enjoy reading the book too. Larry actually wrote two books. The other is titled The Return to the Coca-Cola Trail, so he could add more stories about people and places he uncovered after the first book was published. WorkCampers have an opportunity to sell or get orders for both books. The opportunity is ideal for a history buff with a special interest in learning more about Coca-Cola and sharing that information with others. Larry said the book is a great conversation starter because most people, especially those over 50, have fond memories they'd like to share about their experiences with the beverage. For more information or to contact Larry about the opportunity, visit www.thecocacolatrail.com. Larry's phone number and an online contact form are also available on that site. Work campers won't likely get rich by selling the book or representing it to businesses, but it does sound like a fun way to bring in some extra money. So if you're interested in learning more, I encourage you to reach out to Larry. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey. It's an online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 1 year of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, and operating a small business on the road, plus everything about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long to give an in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started. So for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. That's a wrap for our last episode of 2021. We'll start the new year off with a series of interviews with employers who are looking for work campers, and I have an interview scheduled with a health coach who is also a full-time RVer. He will help folks either get healthy or maintain a healthy lifestyle on the road. But next week's episode features an interview with a representative from Six Flags at Darien Lake in New York about opportunities to work this summer. I'll share that on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. May you enjoy a happy, healthy, productive, and memorable new year in 2022. Thank you for listening.